have begun studying last week before I had found out the visitation for my uncle. I had started studying Psalm 91 and had plans on preaching out of Psalm 91 last Wednesday night, and found out about my uncle's visitation, went down there and spent time with my dad and my family. And by the way, church, I want to tell you thank you for understanding that, and I appreciate that. I have been in other places, and I've heard about other churches where they wouldn't give the pastor leave to go do things like that if it wasn't immediate family. And that, to me, is ridiculous. Amen? And so that I appreciate you, church, understanding that. And my wife and babies were here, and they had a good service, and y'all had a good service, and I thank God for that. But I'm also thankful that I have an understanding and a loving and a compassionate church that allowed me that. So I started studying in Psalm 91, and I don't want to say the fountain dried up, but I couldn't study no more in that, and I just the Lord just cut it off. So I started reading from Psalm 91, and I just kept going. And then when I got to Psalm 96, I had them little aha. You preachers might know, aha, they're Bible readers, Bible study, that aha moment where you just come, there it is, there's something. And so I've just been going back to that past couple of days. Well, as we said, because, man, that was some good accountability for me a couple of weeks ago. That spurred some thoughts from First Chronicles. So help me pray. And with the Lord's help, if the Lord allows it, then I will preach from First Chronicles this coming Sunday. All right? That gives me some good accountability. He done said it from the pulpit, and he can't lie when he's up here. Amen? And so I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing, and I'm thankful for Bible study. Amen. All right, Psalm 96, and we'll read down through verse number 9. The Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. Help me, Lord, to bring out what I've studied. Allow me to speak the words that you would have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. This psalm is one of the psalms that was given to, and you could even say hand-delivered, to Asaph in 1 Chronicles 16, where, as a matter of fact, you find almost identical verbiage in 1 Chronicles 16, where the Lord used David to, I believe, to be one of the penmen. And, of course, we know the author is the Holy Spirit, but Psalms 96 is a call to worship that we read in 1 Chronicles 16. Now, whether 1 Chronicles 16 was first there and then the psalm was added later or vice versa, I don't know. I guess it's not really all that important. What's important is there's continuity in the Word of God. Amen. All the way here in the book of Psalms, from all the way back there in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. And so we read almost the exact same thing, but it's a call to worship the Lord. And it carries us from that day when they, what, 1 Chronicles 16, I'm not gonna preach what I believe the Lord would have me to preach Sunday, but what that is, they're making a triumphant entry back into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's the timeline. That's where that's at. And so that's when we read things about David dancing before the Lord. He's having a joyful time. He wasn't in a church service when he was dancing. Whoop. Amen. Don't throw nothing at me too far. He was rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in what God was doing. And he was rejoicing that the Ark of the Covenant had been gone for, if my calculations are right, somewhere around 40 years out of Israel's possession, was now coming back into Jerusalem. Not just into Israel, into Beth Shemesh. Y'all remember that? But it was coming back into Jerusalem, God's holy city, the place where God's throne is and where it will be and where it sat, the place that God has designed. It's being brought back up into Jerusalem, into, we could call it God's capital city, I guess. And David is rejoicing about that. And so in that rejoicing, Psalms 97 records what David said as he rejoiced. That's magnificent, isn't it? See, we know about David rejoicing. We know about David dancing before the Lord. We know that David did so in a linen ephod, and it made Michal mad. Y'all remember that? How that she was looking at him out the window, and she got upset. She was the last of Saul's daughters that were there, and she got upset because of that. But she got angry because he was rejoicing. Let me say this. You're going to always find somebody that's going to get sideways when you start rejoicing in the Lord about the things that he's doing and what he is. Why? Because we want glory for ourselves. Amen? I remember having my pastor, and I thank God for him, but I remember singing one time at my church, and got done singing, and there were a lot of people that told me how good I sung, and the one person in that whole building that I wanted to tell me I'd done good on that song was my pastor. But you know what? He saw something in me I guess a lot of other people didn't see. Arrogancy. He saw some selfishness, and so he didn't say a word. He didn't say, "You done good." He didn't say, "That was some good singing." He just let it go. Yeah. Y'all ever been there? No. So he saw that, and it made me get sideways because I wanted that. I wanted that praise. I wanted that glory. But the glory and the praise, I'm not worthy of it. Who needed that glory and that praise? God. Amen. It's not about us. Worshiping the Lord is not about us. It is nice having great singers. It's nice having great musicians. Thank God for those things. But the glory belongs to God, not to you and I. Amen? And so 1 Chronicles 16 records him. It records Michal getting sideways, or Michal, however you want to say her name, getting sideways. And it's all because she wasn't getting glory. She thought he was acting inappropriate because he was bringing God glory. And that's going to happen. That's just the way that people are. So let's look at the words that David sung as they marched that triumphal entry back into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. Here it is, verse number 1 says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." They had never sung what songs that they were singing. The songs that he was coming up as David made that triumphal entry and he had that wonderful time, he was singing songs that they had never heard before. He was singing things that, now, you haven't been Baptist very long if you hadn't seen somebody get sideways over a new song. Amen. I remember one of the toughest battles. Now, you're not going to believe this about your pastor, because since I've gotten older, I've gotten a whole lot more laid back about listening to songs and the lyrics of songs and hearing what they had to say. But I remember this man come to me, and he wanted me to hear the song that I thought was a new song, but it's actually an old song. It's called Glorious Day. Y'all ever heard that? The version that he had was by Casting Crowns. And I know some of you love them, some of you don't like them, some of you take and leave them. That's fine with me. But he wanted me to listen to the song Glorious Day. And I got upset about it, Brother Gary. But God, I'm not listening to that. That's rock and roll. Y'all don't throw nothing at me now. Y'all okay? And I took a hard incorrect stance. It was wrong. My stance was, y'all, don't you dry up on me. My stance was wrong. This song was giving God a maximum amount of glory. Go read the lyrics to Glorious Day. If it don't get your tractor crunk, I don't know what will. Amen. Your battery's plumb dead. It's exciting, and thank God for it. And the thing was, is they didn't rewrite a song. They just took a song that a generation had forgotten about, and they brought it back into light. And thank God for that. But you mean old pastor decided he was going to take a hard stand and ruin the relationship with a man who just wanted to glorify God? Why? Because I got sideways over what I thought was a new song. God getting the glory. So I'm not gonna completely go off of all that. I need to quit telling a story. I got an outline here. I really do. I guess I need to use it, huh? So sing unto the Lord a new song, and the song that He wants us to sing in verse number 2 is sung unto the Lord to bless His name, to show forth His salvation day to day. It's a song that all the earth can sing. It's not just a song that I get to sing. It's not just a song that the Jews got to sing. It's not just a song that a select few get to sing. It's a song that everybody can sing. And the song that we can sing, it needs to be about the salvation of the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Let the words that we sing in this new song be about the salvation that God gives. The psalm also says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us speak it. Let us sing it. Let us preach it. Amen. Salvation that God has given to you and I. The glory of God is salvation given unto men. That's incredible to me. That's the single greatest gift that God gave was salvation. He didn't have to do it, but He did. Now, He gave us a whole lot more stuff and a whole lot more benefits. Thank the Lord for it. It needs to be a constant song. The verse said there in the latter part of verse number 2, his salvation, show forth His salvation from day to day. You know what having salvation, being saved will produce? It'll produce you singing songs even in the worst of times. I thought about a few weeks ago, I don't remember if it was Sunday morning or Sunday night, I preached on a new song, singing a new song, and it must be, I think it was a Sunday morning, preached about a new song, and I didn't even, a couple of weeks ago, I guess I knew this verse was in here, but the Lord didn't let me see this verse. Here we are looking at the Lord instructing us to sing a new song, and yeah, you better believe I added it to the outline. Amen. It's in there now. So it's a song that we sing unto the Lord, a new song that all the earth can sing. Anybody can sing this song. It can be about His salvation. It can be something that we sing from day to day, no matter what the day looks like, no matter what the day brings. We can sing unto the Lord. There's another thing that this scripture gives us to do. Not only to sing unto the Lord, but this scripture also tells us to proclaim the Lord. To proclaim the Lord. Verse number 3 says, declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders to all people, among all people. Declare His glory. So God gave us salvation, full and free, free and clear. We have salvation given to us. Now it's free to us, but it cost Him a lot. It cost Him the greatest, highest price that any father would ever have to pay. And he gave, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The cost of salvation was not free. It cost Jesus His life. It cost God His only begotten Son. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. It cost a lot. And so it's up to me and you to proclaim that. This is God's glory. He came, He gave His life, He died on the cross, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This is the glory of God. When His children say, look what He done for me. He died on the cross. He paid my sin debt. Thank the Lord for it. His glory is to the heathen. Do you know what you were before you got saved? A heathen. Amen. We were part of the heathen. Some of us might even still be a heathen. Amen. Me too. But he said, declare his glory among the heathen. You know, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. See, this is the call to worship in 1 Chronicles 16. It was because the Ark of the Covenant was going back to its rightful place, but it carries us all the way through to Christ being put in his rightful place. And that's at the top of the mountain. That's at the pinnacle of our life. That's at the center of who we are. That's where Christ deserves to be. And when we put him in the right place, then we begin to proclaim him everywhere. Proclaim him. We tell about him when we're around the heathen. Amen. Every one of us in here works or goes to school with some heathens. They're there. We're always around them, and we just have to proclaim, amen, and tell the goodness of God, sing the songs, the things that God has done for us, declare his glory to the heathen, and then among all people. I think part of a problem that we have in churches today is that when we come into the church, we are not politically correct. But when we leave the church, we put on this cloak of political correctness, and we think that if someone we see who's maybe from a different nationality or different part of the country or something like that, that we might offend them if we tell them about Jesus. What if we tell them about Jesus and it changes their life? Is their offense so great that we risk them dying, going to hell, and not willing to tell them because we would rather be PC than to be honest with them and give them the truth and the truth in love and tell them the gospel? The gospel message, the glory of God, is to all people, everywhere. Proclaim the Lord. Proclaim his glory to the heathen among all people. And then proclaim his greatness. Verses 4 through 6 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Now, I see that little line, greatly to be praised, and it makes me think of that. I think it's the 42nd Psalm or the 48th Psalm. Great is the 42nd. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I heard that every Sunday morning of my life up until I was about 9 years old. We'd wake up, I don't know if it was Dad's call to worship or what it was, but you'd hear him in there. He'd be in the living room and in our bedroom. Mine and Kevin's bedroom was right next to the living room. Laurie's was right past that, and Mom and Dad's was off to the side over there, and we would hear Dad in the, now I don't know if he was studying, getting ready to preach, but what he was doing, worshiping the Lord before he got to church, but we would hear him in there singing that those first two verses of that psalm, and I thank God for that. But here we are instructed to proclaim the greatness of God in our life. We come into church a lot of times on Sunday morning, and we're so full of the world and all the things that are in the world that we forget that we're coming through those doors to worship a great, magnificent, incredible, awesome God who's brought us through that week. I was talking to Cale the other week, and he said, man, I know that if I make it to Wednesday night, and bless his heart, I know he'd rather be here than wherever he's at. And he said, I know if I make it to Wednesday night, I've made it through half the week. Praise the Lord. And he said, if I get it back here on Sunday, I know that God's brought me through another week. Man, I about had a shouting spell when he said that to me the other week. You know, thank God that the little things that we overlook, just getting from Sunday to Sunday, God brings us through. But instead, we come in and we have our shoulders, you know, crouched and our arms crossed. And, you know, just bless me if you can, preacher. You know, just try. Choir, I don't know if y'all got enough in you to pull me out of the funk I'm in. Yep, okay? Yeah, And the Lord's telling us to proclaim the greatness. So not only while we're in here in church, but proclaim Him out there. Can you imagine you're on a job site and great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Somebody make you mad? Thank God I am free, free, free from you, sin. Amen. That's what you want to say. Yeah, I don't advise that. I don't advise you doing that. Matter of fact, the most offended I've made ever made one of my coworkers is I called him a sinner, and he didn't talk to me for 3 solid weeks. I said, okay, maybe the Lord is doing some work in his heart and his life, amen. All right. You call somebody a sinner, that's offensive. It'll get under their skin pretty quick. So I'm glad that we can take and declare the glory of God all over the place. You know what I did today? I was having a little bit of a rough moment. My watch went off. You're having a high stress moment. Shut up, Garmin. You don't know me. And I was just sitting there having my stressful moment, and I opened up the Bible app on my phone. I started reading Psalm 96, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, me sitting here pouting at work because something ain't going my way ain't really me showing forth the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, I know y'all ain't ever dealt with that, right? But thank God I'm instructed by this psalm to praise the Lord for His greatness, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Man, you can wake up in the morning and look at the skies, and it's dark right before dawn, but as soon as that sun starts to break over the horizon and you see the beauty that God has created in the sky and on the earth, and you get reminded, as Psalm 19 says, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. He's worthy to be praised just because of the beauty that He's created in the world. It doesn't even matter if He gave us salvation or not, but that's the benefit that we get. But we can look out and see the beauty that God gives us and have a thankful and grateful heart and say, Lord, You're worthy of my praise this morning. Lord, You're worthy of me just shouting it out for You right here, whether it be at work or whether I be somewhere else. You are worthy of me to walk around and hum my song that You gave me, my new song, amen, the song that the redeemed can sing. Thank God for what we have when we proclaim the Lord and His greatness. Verse number 6 says, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Where does God dwell? In your heart. He beautifies what was once ugly. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, He talks about taking out your stony heart and giving you a soft, warm heart of flesh. And making it something that it was not before. And that's what God has the ability to do. He's worthy of praising because of the honor and the majesty that are before Him and the strength and the beauty that are in His sanctuary where He dwells, where He is at. Thank God that He beautifies us. Verse number 7. We've talked about, let's see here, I got these things, singing unto the Lord, proclaiming the Lord, and now here is number 3 for those of you taking notes. Give, or giving to the Lord. Something that we're instructed to do in this psalm. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, does that mean that, well, let me go ahead and read verse number 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. So, if we're given to the Lord, that doesn't mean that the Lord needs us to give to Him. Y'all with me still? God doesn't need you to give. God doesn't need me to give the message on Sunday morning. It's a privilege to get to stand in the pulpit. God can use any warm body to get His message out. It's a privilege to get to be here. And the Bible says that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. He loves for us to give, not to, well, I can't really say I'm getting to something, but the Lord, the first thing He wants from you is your affections. Set your affections on things above is what Colossians tells us to do. He wants your affections. What do you mean, preacher? He wants you to love Him. Because when you love something, you will chase it. And if we started loving the Lord the way that we love other things in the world, and about, matter of fact, the Bible tells us to love not the world. But we love the other, we love the Lord and we start chasing Him and pursuing Him. We start reading His Word, and man, to be in pursuit of God because our affections are set on Him, and we decide that we're gonna get the most out of our relationship because we're gonna communicate with Him. You know what you do when you're in love with somebody? You communicate with them. You talk with them. You have a relationship with them. You cultivate that relationship. You work at that relationship. God wants you to set your affection on Him and give your affection freely to Him. He's already written you the greatest love letter that's ever been written. He's already demonstrated, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has already demonstrated love. And one thing that God desires of you is a reciprocal love from His children that He has created to set your affection on Him. To love Him with a great, passionate love, and our hearts be on fire for Him, to develop that relationship with Him and to love Him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. That's the commandment that the Bible gives to us. So give unto the Lord your affections, church. Not only your affections, but give Him your adorations. At Christmas time, we sing that song, "Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." Church, something we have going wrong is that we have lost our adoration, our awe. We no longer stand in amazement of who He is and what He is and what He has done for us. And we don't look at Him with adoration anymore. We look at Him as someone who owes us something and He's just supposed to be there. But that's not the case with God. He doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't have to attend to our needs. And so you and I should adore Him, not just at Christmas time, but all year round. Adore the Lord. Set your affections on Him and then give Him your adoration. Man, what a mighty God I serve. He wants your services. Not just because it needs to be done at the church. Man, I tell you, there is a fine line that you walk at church between the service of the Lord because you have the joy of the Lord and serving the Lord because nobody else is willing to do it. There's a fine line there. And it can cause trouble in our adoration and in our affection. But generally, if we have our affection set on Him and our adoration pointed toward Him, we're not going to get weary in the service that we're doing for Him. Generally, I realize there are circumstances that come up in our life that cause trouble. But I'm amazed. There are a lot of times that God will bring us through an incredible thing, and for a moment we We're affectionate to Him. We adore Him. And then as soon as the luster wears off of that great thing, we find ourselves in a place where it wasn't as big a deal, maybe. And so our services begin to languish. And we start saying, well, I got to go do this. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, not an obligated giver. The Bible says, freely we've received, freely give. God freely gave to us grace. We can freely give Him praise, adoration, and service to Him. We should give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. In verse number 8, it tells us to give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. There should never be a time where in vanity or flippantly we say the name of the Lord. Never for a Christian. I'm not just talking about cuss words or listening to them. I'm talking about speaking in a manner where we are irreverent to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should never escape our lips, because it should never enter our heart. And the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever is in here is going to bubble out through here. And there are a lot of days that I have to check this. We should give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Brother David said at the beginning, the name, just the mention of the name of Jesus. I mean, it has power. You know, you go to an event and you can say God all you want to. There's an influencer that I usually enjoy most of his material. He's into bow hunting and he has a podcast, and I've never bow hunted a day in my life, but the stories he tells are cool and he's pretty interesting stuff that he talks about, and so I enjoy following him. And the other day he posted Philippians 4:19. I can do all things through, and here's what the verse said that he posted, through Him that strengthens me. My Bible says through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, the problem with the word Him, H-I-M there, is that that can be left up to interpretation as to anybody. It could be any male or any him out there. I'm not trying to cause any division or anything. I'm just simply saying that there are things that get left up to interpretation, and that robs Christ of the glory that is due His holy name. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not just through Him. Well, you know what they mean, preacher. Yeah, I know what they mean, but the lost person doesn't know what they mean. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't know who Him is. That could be their dad was really motivating that day, and dad gave me strength, and I can do all things through Him, dad, that strengtheneth me. No, that's not what the Bible intended it to be. It intended to give God glory through glorifying Christ. That's just one scripture. But not all influencers understand that. And that man may not understand that. He runs too. That might be another reason I like listening to him. But he don't run just little marathons like your pastor. He runs 100-mile races and 200-mile races. Yeah, them people's real crazy. I'm just full crazy. They're real crazy. They're ultra crazy. He said, give Him to the glory of His name. Now, watch this next phrase that he says here in verse number 8. Bring an offering. Now, I cannot in good conscience say that it's talking about a financial offering there. But it is talking about bringing something of value when you come to the Lord's house. And so, if you don't have the finances to give, then you better be lifting your voice in adoration to the Lord. Amen. And here's what I've learned. Everybody has the finances to give. It's just whether or not they're willing to trust God in letting go of the amount that He specified. Amen. Amen. A lot of churches that are dealing with a whole lot of financial heartache, and they shouldn't have to.
Amen.
God owns the man that's in the jeans. Amen? God owns the jeans that are on the man. God owns the wallet in the pocket of the jeans that are on the man that he all owns. Amen? God owns the money that's in the wallet, that's in the jeans, that's on the man, that's in the church. And so if it's already God's money, why do we rob God of what is due His holy name? I just don't know, preacher. I just can't afford it. That's amazing. You didn't have no problem putting gas in your car to get back and forth to work. I don't know, preacher. I just can't afford it. Well, you didn't have no problem stopping at McDonald's the other night and spending $8, $10, $12 to get you something. I don't know, preacher. I just don't know if I can afford to give a tithe. That's 10%. Yeah, God lets you keep 90%. That means if you have a $1 in dimes, $1 in dimes, that's 10 dimes. You have 10 dimes. God wants you to give Him one. You still got 9 dimes. Now, that's just the easy breakdown. Now, anything above that, you can give. Maybe that's the reason why we had this conversation earlier this week. I ain't thought about this since then. There's always an excuse, and the devil will bring you up. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're not just robbing God. You're robbing yourself of a huge blessing. Learning how to trust God. Learning how to trust God in circumstances, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he tells us to bring an offering. I heard a story one time. For many years, Brother Bobby Robinson was the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. And he came and preached for me when I was at Union Hill. And one Friday night, and during that Friday night, he got on to me for not opening the car door for Miss Tara. That's the kind of man he was. He got on to me because I didn't open the car door. We went and ate at Cracker. I asked him, I said, you want to go eat? We go eat anywhere in the Atlanta area, all the places in Atlanta that you could go eat. And old Brother Bobby said, Brother Josh, I think I'd just like Cracker Barrel. I want some vegetable soup. Come on, let's go get you some vegetable soup. So we went there, and I didn't open the door for Miss Tara, and he got on to me. Standing in the parking lot, he got on to me. Told me I needed to open the door for it. It didn't stick, did it? He got on to me. And so we were talking, and in the course of our conversation, I think I've heard him say this while he was preaching one time. He was telling about being in a small place in the church that I was at and the ministry I was serving in. It's like he just spoke directly to my heart that night. And one of the things he said, you think you can't do much for the Lord? He said, but there was a time that I was up in, I think he was up in Virginia, and he was preaching in a little mountain town, and this little lady would go, and she would take an old pitcher, and she would go down to the creek, and she would get water out of the creek, and she would bring it up, and she had a glass that she would just wipe off with a towel, and she would wipe the glass off before she poured the water in it, and then she'd set the water up on the pulpit in that glass. And Brother Bobby was sitting next to the pastor and leaned over, and he said, Brother, I got this phobia about drinking after out of certain cups, and I just can't do it. And that lady had set that glass of water up there, and that pastor leaned over and said, Brother Bobby, that's all that lady can do. She can't read or write. She doesn't have a whole lot of good abilities. She can't sing. But she can go to the creek and fetch water and bring water to the preacher. And he said, if there's any way you can find it in you, please drink that whole glass when you finish tonight preaching. Brother Bobby said, that's the sweetest water he ever tasted in his life. He said, it wasn't no sickness, nothing like that ever come from it. But look, you might not be able to be the biggest financial donor. You might not be able to be the great giver of music or the great musician or any of these things, but you might be the guy that just brings the water. You might be the little lady that just brings comfort to somebody. The Lord might lay somebody on your heart to write a card out. You know, I ain't seen brother so-and-so at church, and why I ain't seen sister so-and-so, and then they're going to be there on that Sunday, and you take a card to them, or you young guys, you say, hey, I'm going to encourage the younger ones that are younger than me, or you older guys, you say, I'm going to find one of these young ones that's doing great, and I'm going to tell them how great I think they are, and we're going to encourage our youth in our church. It's not always about the financial giving. It's doing something that is of value. Bring an offering when you come to the house of God. And by the way, expect to give that offering when you're here. Expect to give it. The Lord's not going to put a blessing. He's not going to put nine dimes in your hand and expect you to hold on to all of them. Amen. Y'all have heard me tell this story before, but I feel like it fits right here again. When we were over at Liberty, the church that I'm out of, we were over at Liberty, and I remember our pastor had a preacher come in, and he preached revival for us that week, and I had $40 in my bank account to my name. I had two $20 bills, and I was fighting with God, Brother David, as I walked out that door. That preacher standing at the back of the church, and I had that money in my wallet, and that wallet was burning a hole in the side of my leg, and the Lord kept saying, you give that money to that preacher. You give that money. I kept telling the Lord, I don't know how I'm going to eat. I got $40. I don't get paid for another week. I don't know how you expect me to eat. I don't know what you're expecting out of me. The Lord said, just give him that money. Give him the $40. Give him the $40. And I'm walking out there, and I got about four or five pews away from the back entrance. And I finally reached in there, got my wallet, and I pulled it out, and I pulled the $40 out. And I was clutching it. And I walked by him, and I said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And I slapped in his hand, and I said, I don't care what you do with it. I don't know what you need it for, but here, I want you to have it. And I gave him that $40, and I walked out of there, and I got in my truck, and I said, Lord, if I'm going to eat lunch tomorrow, you're going to have to provide lunch for me. I was working at Threads for the South over here in Billerica, Georgia. A lady named Tina Graham was our secretary that day. I ain't seen her or talked to her since 2012. I don't know where she's at now, but I know that day, brother, I walked into work, and she come out there about lunchtime, and she said, Josh, I have some ham left over from a family dinner yesterday. Would you like for me to make you a sandwich or two? Yes, ma'am, I would. I sure would. I would love for you to make me a sandwich. And she made me some sent somebody to make me some sandwiches. Made me some sandwiches. A coworker. That's the only time I've ever had a coworker make me a sandwich. Amen. And thank God for it. She made me that sandwich, or two sandwiches, and I sat down and I ate. And that afternoon, the owner of the company come by, and he said, you know what? Me and my wife are going out of town, and payday comes at the end of this week, so we just decided since we wasn't going to be here for payday, we just go ahead and write your checks early, and y'all get paid early. Amen. What? And so are y'all following this? I promise you, I think we still got the, you probably done throwed it away by now. The check stub, I had the check stub, kept it for years. But the check stub, I opened up that check, and I opened it up, and I looked at it, and there was a $400 bonus on that early check after that lady had fed me that day. Don't you tell me that giving to God will not work out for you. Here, let me tell you one that's not my story. That's a story from Kevin years ago. Kevin got in some financial trouble, and he was in a bad way. I wish he was here tonight. He'd be going, amen, amen. And he got, y'all know, y'all seen him do it. He sat over there, but that's what he'd be doing. And he got in some financial trouble, and my brother-in-law and sister called him and said, what are you having for dinner tonight? He said, we're having deer cube steak. And he said, that sounds good. And they called him the next night and said, what are you having for dinner? He said, we're having deer cube steak. And he said, that sounds good. Two nights in a row. He said, it's delicious. He wouldn't tell us that he was going through those things. My brother-in-law called me and he said, hey, I want you to know there's something going on with Kevin because nobody eats cube steaks two nights in a row. And I said, well, let's just give it one more night. You know, he is my brother and he's that way. And so I said, okay. And so I called him and I said, hey, what are you having for dinner tonight? And he said, we're eating cube steak. I said, oh, Lord, he's got some bad troubles. Amen. And some of y'all getting sideways about that too, but I ain't never ate it 3 days in a row, and Not unless I had to, amen? And so my sister, she said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get together, and we pooled some money together. And my sister and my brother-in-law, they went and they bought groceries. And they took them over there to their house, and they showed up with groceries. And they laid them at the doorstep, knocked on the door. Kevin come in, Kevin opened the door, and there were all them groceries. And he just went to weeping. He just went to crying. And he said, thank God. He said, I asked my heavenly Father, and he used my family to supply the need that we had this week. Thank God for what he did. Can I tell you another story about a cousin of mine? See, I only know these because they're close to me. I remember my cousin, his name is Randall Hathcock. He owns HNC Construction Company in Temple, Georgia. Amen. And he's a deacon over at Union Hill. Thank God for him. He's a good man and serves the Lord and loves the Lord. But he was first learning about how to tithe, and he gave a tithe to the church. And I think it was somewhere around $65, $70. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He was living up here in Villarica behind the police station, and he went out there to his mailbox. I don't know the address of the house, but I can carry you up there and show you the house that he was living in if it hadn't been torn down. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I know that God has burdened my heart to give this offering. And so he gave that offering. He said, I went to the mailbox that day. He called me. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, there is a check for $750 in my mailbox from something that I did a long time ago that I thought nobody was going to pay me for, and everything, it was all washed away and it wasn't going to happen. He said, here's this money that has showed up in my house. Listen, I'm trying to tell you tonight, that's just three worldly stories, but that's how God is. He rewards your faithfulness, and he rewards your offering, and he rewards you when you serve him with gladness. Man, man, time, man. It's 8:16. We're doing good. God has moved time and time again in my life, in my family's life, in people that I know. And I got other stories. I can tell you stories about missionaries on the field that God miraculously answered. How many of you ever read about George Mueller? He would pray every single day. And one time he was praying, he needed milk. And he was praying that God would give him milk. And a knock came at his door after he had been praying for about an hour. He had everybody sitting around the dinner table, been praying for an hour. That's something we couldn't do in this, or we wouldn't do in this day and time. Sitting around a dinner table praying for an hour just for God to send milk. And he said, there come a knock at the door. And he said, a man stood at the door and said, I had went out to the store to get milk for my family. And as I was walking by this place, I turned down this street and I came to your door. And the Lord said, take this milk to this door. And he said, here I am. Here's the milk. Have a good night, sir. And turned around and walked off. God does that. God works like that because God cares about you and I. Amen. Give God the glory, do his name, bring an offering. Now watch this. Bring your presents. Not your presents, but your, let's see if I spelled it right, presence. Your presence. Bring yourself to the Lord. Come, C-O-M-E, into his courts. The Lord wants you near him. He wants you at church. Well, I don't know if anybody else down there wants me. Well, so what? Who are you going to church for? So what if nobody else wants you there? If that's where the Lord told you to go worship, you better go worship there. You might be the only spiritual one sitting in that church. You go to a church where don't nobody want you in that church. You're probably the only spiritual person in there. That's how the devil works. And if he can cut you out of what's known and what's warm and what's safe through that psychological warfare, he'll do it. That's what that is. It is literal spiritual and psychological warfare that the devil wages on people. If he can cut you out of it, well, they didn't even want me there anyway. Well, so what? You wasn't going there for anybody else. You was going there to worship the Lord. And then he says, when you get there, I'll go easy on you, on your presence. Since it's, why in the world am I worried about that? Verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Fear before Him, all the earth. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Bible tells us to, the Lord said, be ye holy for I am holy. We talk about the beauty and the grandeur and the glory of the Lord. Moses, after he had met with Him on the mountain, he came down off the mountain. They had to put a veil over his face because his face shone with the Shekinah glory of God. It was beautiful. It was too beautiful to look at. He only let Elijah see the hinder parts of him as he went by. It was so grand and so glorious and so incredible. It was the beauty of holiness. It's indescribable, at least in my words. Maybe you can come up with some fancy words to describe it. I learned some when I attended some seminary classes. One of the things that I learned is that they needed 14 different words to describe. The English language needs 14 different words to describe the Lord. To describe Him. 14, double perfection. To even describe Him in our English language. 14 words is what is considered adequate. And really it could go on further and further. Why? Because it's beautiful holiness. And that's how the Lord wants us to worship Him. In holiness. Laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. That easily besetting, we are easily beset from doing the service of the Lord, but when we come to worship Him, our sin and our weight easily besets us from worshiping. That's why Sunday morning worships often end up looking like this instead of like this. That's why. What would happen if we came in here and decided we were going to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and we were going to fear before Him, we were going to have reverence to Him, I think we might just see revival break out. Yes, Gateway, now, Brother Dave, I want to use your daddy as an example. How many years do you think he's been since he's attended a church? Long time? A man stood up and testified Sunday morning. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom to worship. What we have in our church is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we can worship Him in the beauty of holiness and watch God continue to do those things. Now, I'm not trying to magnify Him, but that amazed me. You know how uncommon it is for a visitor to stand up, let alone to speak, in a church that they've been in one other time? What you saw was more than just an old man standing up and testifying of the goodness of God. What you saw was the Holy Spirit of God moving freely in a church that allows Him to flow from breast to breast freely. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We might see revival break out. We might see God do some incredible things. It's going to take us giving glory to the Lord. All right, I'm done. I hope that I've been a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. It's been a blessing and encouragement to me, and I'm so thankful for the privilege to stand in this pulpit one more time, and I'm looking forward to Sunday already. I hope you are too. We can